Only one did that for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we come, in his name we pray. Amen. Our theme for this evening is the least likely used for the most important. How well that song fit into the theme for tonight. Thank you, Kent, and for our musical team. If you're a visitor with us tonight, I invite you to take a Bible with you if you don't have one at home so that you can read and study God's Word. Rather than asking you to look at each of the texts, I'd like to draw your mind's attention this evening to each of the texts that Pastor read for us just a moment ago. Typically, when either he or I preach, it might be one text or maybe two, but usually not all three fit so nicely into the theme for the evening. God uses the least likely, and with the least likely, he does the most important things. You know, as I thought of that theme, what comes to mind for me is all the things of animated characters. And it's the thing, the stuff of which movies are often made. You know, this puny little kid that gets bit by a spider, the least likely, but he becomes Spider-Man. This child that comes from a faraway planet, Krypton, and comes here, and he becomes a great strong man called Superman. I suppose these days in the movies we'd talk about the Hobbit who saves the history of the whole world. Or what about the least likely astronaut, you know, who comes and saves all of mankind, all of humankind, the infinite worlds from the dark side? Probably what's going on in the movies these days. You know, I thought too of that theme, and I thought of Excalibur, the sword, buried almost to the hilt in this solid stone. And who was it that was able to release it and relieve it from its captivity? It was Arthur. And he became the greatest of kings, the Knights of the Round Table, and peace and harmony and all the rest, but certainly the least likely of kings. God does something similar, except all of these are true. They're not the stuff of stories. They are, in fact and indeed, what's happened throughout history. God uses the least likely, and with them he does the most important. Some of these characters from biblical history include Joseph. Remember Joseph, the son who was hated by his brothers, who was sold into slavery and carried away, and how he became a servant in Potiphar's house. And things looked like they were going well, but then there was scandal and controversy, and he was thrown into prison. Then finally, he was rescued from prison by God's hand, placed in the most important position, at least most important, second only to Pharaoh. And because God used the least likely to do the most important, Israel was saved from a time of starvation, and Egypt too, and many places, many people came to Egypt to be saved from famine because of what Joseph did. The least likely, but the most important. Another biblical character, it was King David. Remember how God was going to choose a king for Israel? And God called Samuel to go to Jesse's house and parade all the sons before him so that Samuel would know who was to be anointed as king of Israel. Well, one after the other son came, and God kept saying, no, not that one. No, not that one. No, not that one. And finally, was there anybody else? Dad kind of scratched his head and said, well, yeah, you know, David's out taking care of the sheep. Well, have him come. And God said, yes, this is the one. The last, the least likely, became the greatest king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. But this idea is not just an Old Testament idea, it's a New Testament idea too. And here we see the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, who was first, you remember, Saul, a persecutor of the church, who went after the people, who killed and did whatever he could to desecrate, to decimate, to destroy the Church of Jesus. The least likely became one of the greatest of the apostles, writing for us under God's inspiration most of the New Testament. The least likely used for the most important. Well, that's what our three texts for this evening also help us see. First, starting in Micah, the Old Testament reading that Pastor shared with us, from Micah chapter 5. O Bethlehem, the least of the clans of Judah, from out of you will come one who is the Savior of the world. Remember, as the wise men, we'll hear in a few weeks or in a few days, as the wise men came, they looked for where they would find this Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the scribes, those teachers of the law, looked into the Word of God and found in Micah that this one was to be born in Bethlehem. Certainly the least likely of places. Wouldn't you expect this king to come into Jerusalem, the capital city, where the palaces and the people were? But it was in Bethlehem, the least likely of places, that God chose to reveal his purpose, his will, and his plan. God uses sometimes the least likely places to accomplish his will. But God also uses the least likely plans. Now we turn our attention to the reading from Hebrews chapter 10, our epistle lesson this evening. God talks here in Hebrews 10 about sacrifices. God called the people to sacrifice, but God was not pleased perfectly and utterly with these animal sacrifices or grain sacrifices or wine sacrifices. What instead and what indeed these sacrifices did was to point forward to the perfect once and for all sacrifice for you and for me and for the forgiveness of the sins of all the world. And that's what we see in Hebrews chapter 10. Jesus is the one who says, I sacrifice myself. The least likely of plans we could imagine is that God would become a human being and that God would come in the form of a baby there in Bethlehem, the least likely of places. And yet that was God's plan from before the beginning of creation and certainly the promise he made to Adam and Eve when he would send a Savior to them who would save them from their sins. God did this in the least likely of ways. This was his plan. But even less likely, we might imagine, is that that perfect God-man would sacrifice himself on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. That he would come to take your place in mine, take the punishment for your sin in mine upon himself and into himself, that he would become sin for us and in our place. God uses the least likely places, Bethlehem. God uses the least likely plans, coming in a manger and going to a cross to accomplish his purpose. And that's the salvation of the world. Forgiveness and peace with God through faith in Jesus, our Savior. And turning to the gospel reading for tonight, God uses the least likely people to accomplish his purpose and will. That least likely of people is Mary, little Mary. In our text for tonight, she calls herself rightly the humble one. She is a humble one. She's a poor, humble servant girl. Luther wrote of her that she was the keeper probably of the cattle and of the household. Some scholars think by this point in her life, she might have even been orphaned. She was a humble servant. Some think between 13 and 15 years old. If you know an eighth grader, that's about the age of an eighth grader. Our eighth graders here at Holy Cross. And that's the age she was. The least likely of people. How could it be? How would it be? It seems impossible. And yet God chose little Mary. Even she said to her cousin, Lord, how could this be? Elizabeth, how could this be that I would be chosen? But she said, nevertheless, not my will, but God's will be done. She was the least likely. She recognized in herself that there was nothing that made her to be the one that God would choose. And yet God did choose her. She found favor with God. This least likely of children became the mother of God, the mother of Jesus, the mother of our Savior. Luther wrote about these miracles of Christmas. And he said there are three great miracles in this time of Christmas. The first miracle of God is that God and man would be united in this one person, in this one baby. The second thing Luther said that's a miracle is that God would cause a virgin to become a mother. How could it be that a virgin would be a mother? And the third great miracle Luther wrote in this time of Christmas is that Mary would believe that God was going to do what he said he would do. And Luther said this third miracle is not the least of the miracles, that Mary would believe. Well, I have a message for you tonight. God has a message for us tonight. And that message is that God has chosen you for a purpose. You know, as you think of that, as you hear those words, you might say, certainly not me. God choosing me? Does God even really know who I am or where I am or what I'm about? And even if he were to know, why would he choose me? We recognize in ourselves our own sinfulness. We recognize that we fall short of the glory of God and his calling. We recognize our humility before the Lord. And yet, God does choose you through the waters of baptism. And as you come this evening to receive either the blessing or the body and blood of Christ, you come to receive his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy. He does choose you. He forgives you. He empowers you. He wipes you clean, so that you might be the people he calls you to be, that we might serve him where he calls us to serve. What is it that he wants to do through you? What is it that he wants to do in you? That's the message. That's the question that God calls you to hear and receive from him. You see, it may be that Wichita is the least likely of places. It may be also that the least likely of plans, whatever the blueprint God has, seems unbelievable or impossible for us. It may be that you and I seem like the least likely people that God would use, that God would choose, that he would accomplish in and through us. And yet that's exactly what he calls us to do. To listen. To read his word, to study, and in our prayers, ask him, Lord, how is it that you want me to serve? Lord, what do you want for us as a congregation? In the coming days, in the coming months and years, we're going to be looking even more closely at what God calls Holy Cross to be as a church and school. Lord, where do you want us to be in 5 years? Where do you want us to be in 10 years and in 50 years? And when most of these people are gone, Lord, how will you continue to use Holy Cross to be a beacon of the gospel in our community and across the world? Lord, this may be the least likely place. This may be the least likely of plans. We might be the least likely of people, but how would you have us to serve you? My prayer for you and for me is that we would have the faith of Mary and that God would accomplish a great miracle in you and me, that you and I would be the ones who, like Mary, would say simply and humbly, I am a servant of the Most High. May it be to me, O God, even as you've spoken. May God give you and me eyes to see and ears to hear His plan for us. May God give you and me the strength of character and the strength of purpose to be who He calls us to be. And then may God give you the same peace He gave to Mary when she said, "Lord, let it be to me even as you've spoken." For Jesus' sake, may it be so among us. In the precious name of Jesus, the Savior of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.